This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
All right, good evening, everybody. Let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 12. Fourth book of your Old Testament, Numbers. Who is the human author of Numbers, somebody? The human author. It's Moses, yes. First five books of your Bible. Penned by Moses, obviously under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. So let's go to Numbers chapter 12, and let's read the first nine verses. And then I'll tell you where we're going. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12. This is, give you a little background. This is the, when you get to Numbers, it is the wilderness journey of the Israelites. So they got out of Egypt in Exodus. They made their way towards the promised land, the land of Canaan, land of milk and honey, and land flowing with milk and honey. And they had quite a journey, didn't they? Does anybody know how long the journey should have been? I believe it's 11 days, if I'm not mistaken. And how long did it take them? Now think about that. 11 days turned into 40 years. I think that's a good lesson for, I know I need it, for all of us, about when you don't obey the will of God, you have a tendency to wander around, and it takes you a lot longer to get where God would have you be. It takes you a lot longer than it should have. I speak, unfortunately, I know my experience, I wandered away from the Lord, and I should have been at a place at a certain age, and I wasn't. So I got there, but it was later than it should have been. That's what happens when you get away from the Lord. So walk with God daily. Amen. I restarted the Bible reading this week. I know Brother John finished the 120 days. Amen to that, Pastor. I know he was on the journey too. Not there yet. I was actually, I'll confess, I was 3 days. It took me 3 days past 120 to get there. But I restarted, and Genesis 5 came across Enoch walking with God, and it said that Enoch lived for, you know how many years Enoch lived? He lived for 365 years. And it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And every time I read that verse, I'm reminded of Enoch walked with God. By no coincidence does it say he lived for 365 years. How many days in a year? And what should we do every day? Walk with God? Isn't that the key to Christian living? Walk with God every single day. And that way you don't wander around. And take you a lot longer to get where you should be. That wasn't the message, but I needed to hear that if you didn't. So go to Numbers chapter 12. This is the wilderness wanderings of Israelites. And oh boy, let's see what they're up to in chapter 12. Verse 1. Miriam and Moses spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Stop right there. The Lord hears everything you say, doesn't he? I wonder if they knew that their words would be recorded, that they spoke against Moses. Here we are. over 3,000 years after this event, and their very words that they spoke are in the Word of God for all eternity. Isn't that interesting? The Lord hears what we say. Verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That's quite a testimony. Verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. So what we'll take a look at tonight is a history of God communicating with man. And if you take a look there at verse 6, there's three different ways in which God has in the past communicated with man. If you look there, it says, if there be, I'll read the whole thing. He said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a, number one, what is it? A vision, and will speak unto him in a, that's number two, a dream. And then he goes on to say how he's going to speak to Moses. God would speak to Moses mouth to mouth. That would be audibly. So we have vision, a dream, and then audibly, God speaking with man. So we'll take a look at these three things tonight and see how God speaks to us today in contrast. So let's bow together. Lord, we thank you for your words, how they just spell everything out very plain. Thank you for how we can look into your word and see the condition of our world today, why it is the way it is. You provide all the insight we need. And I pray that we would be people that hear from you tonight, that we would learn something about how you have communicated with man in the past, and most certainly how you do it today. And may we be people that wants to walk with you, that wants to hear from you, wants to talk to you daily. And I just pray you do something here among us with through your Spirit and your Word. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so I kind of gave you the outline there. I want to back up to actually talk number one here. It would be 3 points, and then we'll bring this all to an end, speaking about how God speaks today. But in the past, you can't get around the fact that God did speak, number one, audibly. Audible voice of God. And I'll actually cover that one first, because if you notice there in verse 4, what does it say? And the Lord spake suddenly unto who? There's actually three, Moses, Aaron, Miriam. I believe that is God's audible voice. So we'll take first look tonight at how God has spoken in the past audibly with men. And there's a woman right there as well. So God has spoken to men and women audibly. And then we'll take a look at God speaking to men in visions and in dreams. And then we'll pause together and talk about how God speaks today. Now, there's a lot of confusion on this today. A whole lot of confusion. We are a Bible-believing Baptist church, so you will not hear in a Bible-believing Baptist church, you should never hear someone stand in a pulpit or even in the middle of any service here or Sunday school. You should never hear anybody stand up and say, I have a word from the Lord. And that come from their own hearts. If they have a word from the Lord. Now, if you want to stand up and say that, say, I have a word from the Lord. You want to read out of the Bible or quote a verse? Great. But the word of the Lord for us today is right here. Now, here's what you have to remember, though. Men throughout history have not had what you and I have. We have a 66-book Bible, no more word from the Lord needed outside of this. But look at this time period we're looking at here. This is 1500 B.C. approximately, 3,500 years ago. Did they have what we have? No. I mean, they had a small portion. You figure they know about the things in Genesis that we read about. That was passed down orally and eventually written down. They lived through Exodus. I mean, that was experience for them, personal experience. And then Leviticus, that's a bunch of things that God gave to Moses about the priesthood. And then here they are in Numbers. So if you said, what does your Bible look like to these people at this point in time? I don't know if they have much written down outside of the Ten Commandments, right? I say that. They have some other of God's laws they have written down. But outside of that, written down, there's some things in Exodus that we know for sure they have written down. And outside of that, I don't know what they have written down. They had some things passed down orally. And eventually they were written down. But here in time, I don't really know the extent of what they had. But it wasn't near what we have. So let's take a look at these three things here. Number one, God speaking to men audibly. So what I'll do here is we'll look at just a few instances of each of these. Number one, God speaking audibly in the past. Number two, God speaking through visions. And number three, God speaking through dreams. You cannot deny that God has used these three ways to speak to man in the past. But here's what you want to be wary of. If anybody tells you, I heard God's voice audibly tell me something, your ears ought to perk up immediately. You ought to pay real close attention to that. Because there's a really good chance that it was not God's voice that was speaking to them audibly. Now, I'll give you a personal experience of mine. Many years ago, it's been over 20 years ago now. I've told you the story before, but I was at a baseball game. I'm at this point in my life where God's really dealing with me. I have not been living for the Lord. I've been doing my own thing for a few years, and God is really dealing with me, and I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable, and that's what God does to you when you're His child, and He starts chastening you. Here all the world is doing all these things that are fun, and you find no fun in them. You're a child of God, right? So I'm at this crossroads as to, okay, Lord, I want to do what you want. But I was still struggling with a lot of things because you start picking up all this baggage along the way that you have to get rid of. So I'm at a baseball game, and I'm a very intense student of baseball when I watch a baseball game. And I remember sitting there watching that game thinking, this is happening right here and that's happening. I'm watching all these things very intently, and I'm thinking to myself, this is me. And I'm really studying this game. And this was not the audible voice of God. I tell you, it was not. But the Lord just impressed upon me, wasn't audibly, you sure are a student of the game of baseball. How about you become a student of my word? And that was not an audible voice. And the way that I know that that was from God is because, you know what I have in the New Testament? I have a verse that matches exactly that very thing that I believe God was impressing on me. 2 Timothy 2:15. What does it say over there? First word, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is there a command to study the word of God? Okay, I believe that was the Holy Spirit giving me some information that 100% matched what God said in His word already. So I know way back then I needed a little nudge, and I think God used that to kind of give me a nudge. But if I would have said God impressed upon me something and I couldn't find in the scriptures, that wouldn't be God. That would not be the Lord. So I'll tell you this, it's kind of funny, from that point on, the last 20 years, those instances hardly ever happen anymore. Where I know this specific thing, I say they hardly happen, they happen, but that was a situation where God was dealing with me, and I was at a turning point, and I could have gone several different ways, and God brought me to a place where I feel like He was really dealing with me, but I found the verse to match what He said. So anytime you wonder, is this the voice of God? Something is impressed upon you. You can always check it. You got a book, don't you? You got a Bible. You can always check the Bible to see, okay, if this is not something that I can match up in the Bible, folks, that was not the voice of God. That was not. God's Holy Spirit would never lead you to do something contrary to what He said in His Word. He would never do that. It's not God. And I warn you of that because there's other voices out there. There's a bunch of them that will, quote, speak to you. And when those voices speak to you, they can even impress some things on you. And I'm not talking about audible voices. I'm just talking about you get something in your heart. And you better make sure that if something is in your heart to do something, and you're going to go say that it's of God, you better be able to find something in the Word of God that matches up with that. Or else, I would say it's not of God. And I'd be so careful about that today. So in our world today, this day and age we live in, it's just crazy in some churches. You'll have people stand up and say, I dreamed this last night. Had a young man in my class this past week that wanted to tell me about a dream he had. And the dream was about the rapture. Anybody here have rapture dreams? When I was a kid, I had them quite often. And from time to time, I still have them. Now, if I have a dream about the rapture, and this kid had a dream about the rapture, what does that mean? Does that mean anything? Give me some feedback here. Does that mean anything? Folks, my dreams should always take I would say second place, but they should be way down on the list to the Word of God. So this young man was telling me about his dream, and he said, I believe it's soon. The rapture, that is. And he said that because it was fresh on his mind. He just had this dream, right? Now, could the kid be right? I hope he's right. I hope he's right. I don't know if he's right or not. And I told him, I said to the boy, I said, I had similar dreams when I was a kid. In fact, around his age, a little younger, actually. And that was, 30-some years ago now, when I was his age. So if I was to say back then that the rapture would be soon, it didn't happen back then. It still hasn't happened. So you got to be real careful about that. So dreams today, I know that we all have dreams. I don't know about your dreams, but mine are weird. Mine are very strange, and I think that mine, oftentimes, I'd say it just about every time, are a result of something that I thought about during the day. And usually, this is just mine, that may not match yours, but my dreams usually, it's something I only thought of for a small amount of time, maybe a few seconds. And then that pops up back in the dream. So those dreams we have a lot of times are just our brain emptying our thoughts from that previous day. But you'll see here in a minute, there was a time in the Word of God in the past, there was a time when God actually spoke to people through their dreams. So I'm kind of giving away the ending here tonight, but I think you probably already knew where I was going to go with this. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's talk about how God has spoken to man in the past. Take a look at just a few of examples of these. So what you'll notice here is God speaking audibly, dreams and visions. There's a bunch of these accounts in the Old Testament. And when you get to the Gospels, you'll find a few as well. And when you get to the book of Acts, you'll even find some. And then guess what happens? Almost gone after that. And I'll show you that here tonight. So if you understand a little bit about us being a dispensational church, we realize that God has dealt with man in different ways in the past. God never changed. He never changed his character. But God has put men to certain kinds of tests in the past. And the way that God has dealt with man in the past over time has changed. So it makes sense that the way that God has communicated with man in the past is a little different, actually a lot different than the way he does today, right? So it makes sense that you would see Old Testament heavy, God speaking audibly, God dealing with dreams, God dealing in visions. And then you see that thing just fade out as you get over to the New Testament. Makes perfect sense. So we'll look at that. So go to Genesis chapter 1, and this is actually the first thing I can see that God said to a man. And I would assume this was spoken audibly. So look at Genesis 1:28. Obviously, God spoke the world into existence, but we're dealing specifically with God speaking to men. Well, 1:28, and God blessed them, and that would be Adam and Eve. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then he goes on in verse 29 to tell them about what their diet will be. And then a few more details there. So that is the first account I can find of God speaking to a man. And it doesn't say he spoke in a vision or a dream. So I take it there that God was speaking face to face, or we say audibly, to Adam and Eve. Would you agree? Okay, go to chapter 2. And you'll see a little bit more of this. Early on, especially, you see a lot of this, first few chapters of Genesis, God speaking audibly to people in the Bible. And this would be God's method of communication at one point in history, or for a while there in history, I should say. Verse 16, if you look down there, back up to 2:15 actually, says the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And I would take it that those two verses right there, that is God speaking audibly to, who's he talking to? Adam. So we can't get around that. There's a time where God did speak audibly with men. Go over to chapter 3. And this is after sin enters into the world. And you'll find, I'll read all this, just a couple things here. But chapter 3, verse 9, this is after Adam and Eve have sinned. And look at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And look at verse 10. And he said, I heard, what did he hear? Thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So you have here in the first few chapters of Genesis, this is God speaking audibly with Adam and Eve, right? And you'll see he goes on there and there's quite an exchange between Adam and Eve and the Lord in chapter 3. Go over to chapter 4. Now this one's interesting. There's Cain and Abel in chapter 4. And you would think that out of those two, if you didn't read the story and really know a little bit about it, if you had to pick one of the two that God spoke to, Cain or Abel, normally you would probably pick the one that was more righteous than the other, right? Abel? Guess who he talks to? He addresses Cain. It's kind of interesting. Look at chapter 4. Look down there at verse 6. This is after it said that God did not have respect unto Cain and his offering. It says, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? And if you go on there, it talks a little bit more about God dealing with Cain. Go down to verse 9, after he kills his brother, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? So there's no doubt God spoke audibly with men here. So go to chapter 6, and let's see who else is over there. This is just God speaking audibly. God giving some instructions, God having some conversations with men. Chapter 6, verse 13. And God said unto who? Noah. And if you look at those next, about 18, 19 verses there, you know what the Lord tells Noah? This is really, really important. He gives him instructions on how to escape God's coming judgment. Folks, that's one of many things the Word of God reveals to you. How to escape God's coming judgment. Oh, and it's coming. Here on the earth, it'll be tribulation. In eternity, God's coming judgment for those who reject Jesus Christ, it's hell. And then the lake of fire. So God does communicate with man here. He communicates with Noah. And I take it that's an audible voice there. He goes and gives him instructions about the ark. Go to chapter 12. Let's see who shows up over here. Don't worry, we're not going to look at every instance in the Bible. Don't worry. But there's a bunch here in Genesis I want to point out. And then we'll just look at a couple in some other places. Chapter 12. Should know that number 12 in your Bible is the number of Israel. So it's no coincidence that in chapter 12 there's a man that God calls out of his country to go to another land. And from this man comes Isaac, Jacob, whose name is changed to Israel, and then the 12 tribes. Right here in chapter 12, no coincidence there. Verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And then you find down there, verse 4, Abram obeyed God. So there's God talking to Abram. Go over to chapter 26, and you'll see another one of the patriarchs over here, Genesis 26. 26, 1 and 2. See who God is speaking to audibly here. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. So again, that's the Lord speaking how? Speaking audibly to, this is Isaac. Go over to Exodus. We'll just look at a couple more here. Exodus. Let's see who the Lord's talking to over here in Exodus. Probably guess. Now this one's an interesting one, so we'll read a few on this one. Chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Folks, who's talking there at the end? That is the Lord himself. It says, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And that's talking to Moses, audible voice of God. Can't get around that. Go to Leviticus 1, and you'll see that there's a whole lot of things that God said to Moses, and obviously we've got many of those things written down here in the Old Testament. Go to Leviticus 1:1. 1:1. And the Lord called unto Moses, and, what's the word? Spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, and then give some instructions there concerning the offering. Go to Numbers chapter 1. This will be the last one we'll look at here in the Old Testament. We'll look at just a couple things here in the New Testament. Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1. Whole thing here I'm just trying to show you is that there was a time, past tense, when God spoke to men with an audible voice. I think you can all hear my voice right now. It's the voice of Micah Rockwell. There was a time when people actually heard a voice spoken, and it was Lord God Almighty. And they heard a voice just like you're hearing a voice right now. Obviously, not mine, but the Lord's. Look at Numbers chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying. And then there's a whole bunch more that God said to Moses. And I take that as God is speaking audibly to Moses. So again, there was a time when God spoke to men with an audible voice. These are not the only ones, by the way. You'll find a number all throughout the Old Testament. But go to the New Testament here and let's see some. Go to Matthew 3. If If you're here Wednesday night, we actually looked at this one, but real quick here, Matthew chapter 3. This first point here, God did speak audibly in the past. Matthew 3, and this is the baptism of Jesus Christ. If you go to the end of the chapter, verse 16, you'll see the Godhead here, as we mentioned on Wednesday. It says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Audible voice, folks? That you can't get around it. Here we are in the New Testament now. Audible voice of God. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Look at two more instances here on this point. Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12. I think I got the wrong reference here. Let me see if I got try John chapter 12. I got Matthew. Go to John chapter 12. We'll come back to Matthew in a second, though. John chapter 12. John 12. Lord Jesus Christ speaking in a whole lot here. Now, by the way, if the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and some of you may have a red letter Bible where the words of Christ are in red, if the Lord Jesus Christ is on earth and he's speaking, isn't that the audible voice of God? Sure is. But look at this, and this goes along with our Godhead study on Wednesdays. Look at 12:26, John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now look at 27. And now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from where? Heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Look at 29. Interesting. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. And others said, an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. So, just this afternoon, did you hear the thunder? So isn't that interesting how the thunder is compared? It's not the voice of God, but there is a comparison to thunder and the voice of God. Now, why would that be the case? It's scary. You ever been scared by thunder? Anybody in the Bible ever get spoken to by God and tremble? Yeah. So if we did ever hear the audible voice of God, I think you'd be scared out of your mind. And whenever you told people about it, you would have told them. You would have said, I was scared to death. But do you ever, when people make these claims, they never say that, do they? They say it's real casual, which leads me to believe, not telling the truth. So God doesn't speak audibly in this present time. So go to Matthew 17, and we'll look at one last here in the New Testament, and then we'll look at visions and dreams. Matthew 17. Now, this will be something that you'll need to remember for the end of the message, but this one kind of puts the audible voice and visions together, and we'll talk about visions next. So go to Matthew 17. This is a really important place in your New Testament to put some pieces together. Look at Matthew 17, verse 1. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter. Remember that Peter's there. James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Folks, the audible voice in verse 5? Audible voice of the Lord God Almighty. How do you know that? Well, he refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as, this is my beloved Son. So the Father has to be speaking there. Look at verse 6. The proper response. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Yeah, that's a proper response to the audible voice of God. Verse 7. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And look what happens here next couple verses. Verse 8, when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, look what the Lord says, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now, put a couple things together here. They did hear the audible voice, right? And this is called, this whole event by Jesus Christ is called a, did you see it? It's called a vision. So a vision, when you see these things about visions in your Bible, it is something that is not normal. And in this case, it is something that is, it's almost as if the spiritual realm and the physical realm are meeting for just a small little space of time. That's where these visions come in. Now, I want you to notice the wording of verse 9. I noticed something very interesting here in 9. It says, Jesus charged them. Look what it says. Jesus charged them saying, what's the first word? Tell. Tell the what? Tell the what? You mean like television? Now look, you laugh. You laugh. But isn't, what is your television do? It shows you images and it speaks, doesn't it? And you better believe every time you got that thing on, there is something that's trying to be stirred up in your mind as far as a certain way to think. Which 99.9% is contrary to the Word of God. I thought that was interesting. You think the Lord knew there would be a day where we'd have these ridiculous things called televisions? I mean, I'm not saying that's why He said it, but I think that's an interesting connection there. Tell the vision, yeah. All right, let's go over to Genesis back in the Old Testament here. So there's number one. There's God's audible voice. So let me ask you a question, folks. Was there a time when God spoke to men audibly? We cannot get around this. There was a time when God did that. Go back to Genesis chapter 15. Let's look at some things about visions. Just real quick here. A few verses on visions, a few on dreams, and then we'll wrap it up. Genesis 15. So I just want to show you some proof here. There are a number of instances in the Old Testament. In fact, I believe I found there was 96 verses in the Bible that mentioned vision or visions. And out of 96, 79 in the Old Testament. Now that alone ought to tell you something. They were used. Visions were used a lot in the Old Testament by God to speak to men. And then what happens when you get to the New Testament? God doesn't use them as much. And I'll show you some things about the New Testament occurrences here at the end. So go to Genesis 15. Here's the first one. This is the first time a man ever has a vision that is from God. So if you look down there, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. How? Okay, notice the wording there. It says the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. So this was a method, I say was, past tense, was at one time a method that God used to communicate His Word. And if you notice here, you'll see this with, obviously, the audible voice, that's an easy one, the visions and the dreams. The purpose in all of those is for God to communicate His words to man. He just uses those three different modes in the Old Testament, doesn't use those three modes today, but He did at one time. So you go on there, and this is where the Lord tells him He's going to have a son. I won't go into all details there, but that's the first one. Go to Genesis 46. By the way, that first mention there, that's a vision given to Abraham about something in the future. And you'll find that a lot of these visions and dreams are prophecies of future events. God's telling about what will happen. Go to Genesis 46. Here's another one. We'll see who gets a vision here. Genesis 46, verse 2. And God spake unto Israel. It's very important you see that God spake. He just happened to use a vision. God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. So there again, who's being spoken to through a vision given by God? That would be Jacob, who's also Israel. Go over to 1 Samuel. This is an interesting one. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Look at another one here concerning visions. Now, again, the purpose of a vision, and you'll see here in a minute, as of a dream as well, is for God's words to be communicated with a man or men. So look at 1 Samuel 3. And actually, right here, it's a little boy. It's not a grown man. Can God speak to children? Amen. God will show some truth from His Word to children He hasn't shown to adults. It's one of my favorite things at school, when the kids show me something that the Lord showed them out of His Word. and they teach me something. I love that. That's one of the great rewards of teaching. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Now watch this. It says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open. So notice the word of the Lord is connected with vision there. And the idea here is that there wasn't much that was being said about what God said. Kind of like 2019, the U.S. of A. Now, you'll get it in the right places. You'll get the Word of God in the right places. You're in one. But you won't get it in most places, and unfortunately, a lot of churches. So, that unfortunately, that verse right there can be said of a lot of places that would claim to be churches today. I don't think a church is a church unless they have the Word of God, and it's got a prominent place, right? All right, look at verse 2. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And I'm not going to read all this, but you find out the Lord calls three times. How did he call Samuel? Sounds like audible voice, right? And then I just wanted to show you there in verse 1 that that's connected with a vision. And the Lord shows Samuel some things that are still to come. If you go down there to verse 11, it says, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And there was some judgment that was coming upon Eli's house. And if you go down there to verse 21, it says, last verse in that chapter, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. How? By the word of the Lord. And at this point in time, it is actually still an audible voice. So you've got, it's not like God only uses his voice at a time and then he switches to visions and into dreams. It's actually all through your Old Testament, they're all three there and they're mixed. It's not like God divides them up and says, I'm going to use this one for a while. They're all used at different times. So go over to Jeremiah 23. Now here's an interesting one concerning visions. Jeremiah chapter 23. And again, the whole purpose of this, folks, I know I don't want you, neither does Pastor. And we don't want you to be all messed up and tricked by some of the nonsense that's floating around in so-called churches today, where they say they have a word from the Lord that you can't find anywhere in the Bible. I'll just give you one name to watch out for. Watched a little bit of him this morning and just disgusting to hear. Benny Hinn is a real well-known guy that will tell you that God still speaks in dreams and visions. And God's given him all kinds of dreams and visions. And you got to be real careful about that. God's going to speak today through his word. So look at Jeremiah 23 and look at this concerning visions. Jeremiah 23, verse 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery, walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. It's kind of sad that the prophets are living pretty wicked lifestyles. Look at verse 15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Okay, now watch 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision. Where does it come from, folks? Of their own hearts and not out of the mouth of the Lord. See, even back during the time where God was using visions to speak to men, you had men walking around speaking visions that God gave them that God did not give them. They would claim the Lord gave them to them, but where did they come from? Out of their own heart. And we all know the verse Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Okay, so there's some interesting things there about visions from the false prophets. So beware of those. Go over to the New Testament here. I'll just show you a couple things. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. I won't look at all these. I'll give you some references. When you get to the New Testament, you'll find mention of visions in Matthew, in Luke, in the book of Acts, and then one time in Paul's letters, I'll show that one to you, and one time in the book of Revelation, I believe it's chapter 9. So that should tell us something. Heavy mention of visions in the Old Testament. When you get to the New Testament, you find some in the Gospels and then in Acts. Now, you've got to remember in Acts. Acts is a book that is a transition book. God goes from dealing primarily with the nation of Israel to now dealing with the church of Jesus Christ, right? So there's some transition going on there. So you can see why God still speaks through visions to a point in the New Testament, and then he says, I'm not going to do that anymore. So look at 2 Corinthians 12. Here's somebody that God did give visions to, and you'll see why. Look at 12:1. Who's the author of 2 Corinthians, a human author? The Apostle Paul. So this would be who's writing here. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to, now notice this, visions and revelations of the Lord. So God did reveal truth through visions, revelations. Revelation through vision, you could say. Now look at what happens here. This is very unusual. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So there's a situation where God did show a vision to the Apostle Paul. Now you got to remember, Apostle Paul is a Jew. He actually shows up for the first time in the book of Acts, the transition book. And he actually has quite an interesting conversion. Didn't he see the Lord Jesus Christ? So you see, we're in a time when you're in the book of Acts where there's a transition going on. And God used that situation there on the road to Damascus where he actually reveals himself to Paul in a way that is much different than salvation in our time right now, right? We get the Word of God through the Bible, and God actually spoke to him audibly. You could say Jesus Christ did. He actually did. So it's no surprise that he would make a mention, Paul would, of there's a time where God himself gave him a vision, and he recorded it right here for us, correct? But guess what? That's the only mention in Paul's letters of any vision at all. So now you come to a place where God's not revealing himself through visions anymore. And I'll show you why here in a moment. So let's go to dreams. I just think that's interesting how there's a heavy emphasis in the Old Testament, and then it fades in the New Testament. It's not so emphasized anymore. Let's talk about dreams here for a minute. So God did speak. We can't get around the fact in the past God did speak audibly to men, right? Did God speak through visions in the past? Absolutely, he did. And last thing here, dreams. I'll just look at a couple of these. Go to Genesis 20. The first time God ever speaks to a person through a dream, interesting situation here. It's Abimelech, a guy named Abimelech in the book of Genesis, chapter 20. This is a situation where old Abraham has this plot to not quite tell the truth about his wife, Sarah. Remember this? Little white lie, right? No such thing as one of those. It's a lie. Look what the Lord does, though, in this situation. It says, verse 3, go to Genesis 20, verse 3. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she herself said, He is my brother? In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him, in a what? There, you can't get around it. Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for all, I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. So there's the first mention of God speaking to a man through a dream. And what does he do? He keeps Abimelech from doing something sinful against Abraham's wife Sarah. So I think that's quite interesting. That's actually the first mention there, and it's not... You'd think with Abraham being connected with that Jewish nation, Abraham might be the first one with the dream, but it's actually a Gentile man, Abimelech. It's kind of interesting. Go over to Genesis 28. Just a couple more on this. Genesis 28. I'll get two more here on the dreams, and then we'll get to the conclusion here. Whole bunch of things here. Genesis 28. Let's see who's addressed here. 28, verse 10. Let's see who had a dream. Genesis 28, 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And goes on to tell him some more things there. So there's God speaking to who? In a dream. There's Jacob's ladder. That was an actual dream. Now, let me ask you, did God use that dream to communicate his truth to a man? He absolutely did. You can't get around that. So I'll just tell you these real quick. We won't have time to go there. There's a man in Genesis that there's a bunch of things associated with dreams. In fact, he's hated for his dreams and his words. Who would that be? That's Joseph. Starts off in Genesis 37. You find Genesis 37 and Genesis 40. There's a man that Joseph comes in contact with in Egypt that has dreams that Joseph interprets. Gentile man, who's that? That'd be the Pharaoh, Genesis 41. 1 Kings 3, King Solomon. God speaks to him in a dream. Over in the book of Job, Job 33, 14 to 17, there's a mention of God speaking through dreams. Book of Daniel, there's a whole bunch in Daniel about dreams. And what God does in Daniel is God gives you future events in detail through dreams, and then they're interpreted. In fact, a lot of that that's prophesied in Daniel is still future to us now. And God gave it through dreams. So go to your New Testament. I'll just look at a couple things here. There's three places in Matthew. Go to Matthew. We'll just look at the last one here. We'll look at the first. We'll go to Matthew 1, and I'll give you the reference to the other two. Matthew chapter 1. This is not the same Joseph of the Old Testament. This would be Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus Christ. And there's a dream mentioned here. So I'll show you this one, and I'll show you the last mention of a dream in the New Testament, last direct mention. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. How? In a dream, saying, there's instructions here, very important ones. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Do you think that was important information passed along in a dream? Yes. Or else what might Joseph have done? Could have had her put to death, right? In fact, he very well could have been on his way to do that because he was concerned about the fact that his wife is pregnant. So, very good that angel showed up. Good thing that Joseph obeyed the dream, right? Okay, go to Matthew 27. So, in your New Testament, there's a mention of dreams one time in the book of Acts, and Peter's actually quoting from the book of Joel. And then there's a mention of dreamers in the book of Jude. That's Jude, verse 18, and we'll have time for that one. But then outside of those two, here's the last mention of God actually giving some important information in a dream. Look at Genesis 27. Now, this is right before or right as Jesus has been appearing before Pilate. And if you look down there at verse 17, 27:17, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Look at the detail here in verse 19. Only in Matthew is this found. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So that woman was greatly troubled because her husband was about to be the man to sentence the Lord Jesus Christ to death. And now that's interesting to me. The Lord spoke, I don't know if he spoke. It says you could say that she suffered here. The Lord ministered. It's kind of a strange ministering, but she suffered many things in a dream about Jesus Christ, right? Isn't that interesting? The last mention of dreams here in the gospel is a Gentile woman having a concern for a Jewish man. Isn't that interesting? Find that interesting because the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ is predominantly made up of Gentiles today. Now, maybe there's more to that than I can see right now. I just think that's kind of interesting. That's a Gentile woman that's concerned about the Lord Jesus Christ. But kind of interesting. Anyway, so that's dreams there. Now, let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll wrap things up here. A couple of verses in closing. 2 Peter chapter 1. So you remember back there we had that account of the transfiguration. Remember that? It's going to come up over here. We're in 2 Peter. Who wrote the book of 2 Peter? It's a tough question. Still with me? All right. 2 Peter, written by the Apostle Peter. Obviously, Holy Ghost inspired. But if you look there, he's going to make mention of that account where, remember, they heard the audible voice of God, didn't they? And it's referred to by the Lord Jesus Christ as a vision, right? So those two things come together here. Look at verse 16. 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So before I keep reading, Peter is recalling, are you following? He is recalling that event we read about in Matthew 17. Agreed? He's recalling that. And he says, we heard the voice, the audible voice. Look what verse 19 says. Very important we get this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Now let me stop. I'll keep reading here in a minute, but let me stop. If Peter says there's a more sure word than the audible voice of God, I want it. Don't you? I mean, that's like that'd be the ultimate. Hear the audible voice of God. And here Peter heard it. And what does he say? There's something that's more sure than that. So if I'm reading this for the first time, I'm thinking, Peter, what is that? Because I want it. And guess what Peter does? He's going to tell you. So look at verse 18, or verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now connect the dots here. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of what? Prophecy. Connect that to verse 20. That no prophecy of the Scripture. So what's he referring to when he says there's a more sure word of prophecy? Got to keep reading, you find out that's the Scripture. Go to verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter, what is the more sure word of prophecy? Connect it to verse 20 and 21. It's the Scriptures given to us as holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Wednesday night crowd, is the Holy Ghost God? The Scriptures were given to us by who? By God. Folks, we got something that is, I'm just telling you what Peter said, more sure than the audible voice. What did the Lord Jesus Christ call that event? There was a vision. So we have something that's more sure than those things, right? Now, just to put all this together, I've got two places here. Go to Romans 9. Romans 9. I won't have time to go all the references here, but I'll give you the references so you can look on your own. But two places here. Romans 9. Do we need anything else besides the Word of God? I'll tell you, no, we don't. And the Scripture is the testimony of that. It's not me. It's not anybody else. It's the Scripture. So notice something real interesting here in Romans 9. And look at verse 17. For the Scripture saith unto who? Pharaoh. Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now that's kind of interesting to me. That verse says there, the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh. Now where did Pharaoh, when did he live? The Pharaoh of the Bible, when was he? He's in the Old Testament, book of Exodus, right? Did Moses have dealings with him in the book of Exodus? Oh yes, several of them. Now you want to find something really interesting. For time's sake, we won't go there, but Exodus 9, if you'll read verses 13 through 16, guess what you'll find out? I think we're going to have to do it. We'll just have to stop here. Go to Exodus 9. We'll just have to leave the other one out. Exodus 9. What did it say over there in Romans 9, folks? It said that the Scripture spoke to Pharaoh, right? Let's see what the book of Exodus says. I think it's important that we all look at this. Exodus chapter 9. Now remember, I'll just remind you again what it said over there in Romans. Even for this purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Okay, so go down there to verse 16. All right, back up to verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, and he gives you this whole message here that Moses is going to relay to who? Pharaoh. So when you read verses 13 to 16, who's talking? The Lord's talking to Moses, right? Look what the Lord says in verse 16. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Folks, in the book of Romans, the Bible said, the scripture saith unto Pharaoh. In the book of Exodus, it says, and the Lord said, and the same thing is spoken. Anybody see where we're going with this? The scripture equals God speaking. So put that together with what Peter said. I didn't say it, folks. Peter said it under the inspiration of God. A more sure word than God's audible voice. I don't need dreams. I don't need visions. I don't need God's audible voice. Now you want to look at another one that's really neat. You go to Galatians 3, 6 through 8. It will tell you again. I think it's Galatians 3, 8. It says, and the scripture saith, and I think it's unto Abraham over there. You can go back to Genesis 15, and guess who was talking to Abraham? The Lord God Himself. So you put all this together, and you find out that the Scriptures equal God speaking. Okay, and I know I'm an independent Bible-believing Baptist church. We all know this. I know this. You know this, right? But do we really think about this as much as we ought to? 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is all the scriptures profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The next verse is really important with this whole study. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I'm not missing anything that God wants me to know as long as I have the scriptures. This is the truly furnishing book. This is it. So when you venture outside and say, God told me this, or God showed me a vision this, you're contaminating the pure Word of God, which we don't need anything else. Revelation 22, let me read that to you. It's at the back, if you want to turn there in the back of the Bible there. Let me just read this to you. I know everybody always says this applies to the book of Revelation, but did you know what? This is the last book that was written. So I know that this specifically applies to the book of Revelation. But I think you can make application to the entire Bible, especially when you look at the ploy that Satan has, the strategy Satan has to mess with God's Word. Look at Revelation 22:18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. There's that word prophecy again. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Okay, so when people say, I had a dream, I had a vision, God spoke to me audibly, and it's not found in the Word of God, what are they doing? See, we think the Bible correctors are the only ones that add to the Word of God. This charismatic crowd does the same thing. Unfortunately, I've been around independent Baptists who have a tendency to do the same thing. Yeah. Verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. So, I know that's specifically the book of Revelation, but does God want any man to add to or take away from any part of the Bible? Folks, when you add to what the Bible says or take away from what the Bible says, you're setting yourself up as the Lord God Himself. If you think you know better than Him. Now, I know that you folks wouldn't do that, but we got a world full of people like this. So the whole message here, folks, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, isn't he? He has a strategy to try to get you away from what this book says. There's a book, a really, really popular devotional book that's out. Super popular. It's called, ready for this? Jesus Calling. It's written by a girl named Sarah, a woman named Sarah Young. And when you read that, you're reading it, and it will refer to me and I as, that is, God Himself. And what she has done is she has taken scriptures and then she's put her own, I'll just say it, private interpretation on some things and made it sound like when you're reading out of that book, that devotional book, you are hearing from guess who? God Himself, because it says I, and He's talking to you. And my desire for you, and that's God talking to you. Got to be real careful about that stuff. Because I've looked through some of that. And it's very much emotional driven. Where God wants to impart to you, according to the book, a certain feeling. Folks, God wants to impart to you truth. And the emotions, you got to watch out for the emotions. The emotions, they're not bad, but they can lead you astray, can't they? How many ever been real emotional and made a bad decision? Don't make a decision when you're emotional. Don't make a claim that God said something to you when you're in an emotional state. Now, you want to get stirred up by the Word of God and get emotional because the Word of God says something, that's a different story. And be real careful of that, though. So, I hope that helped you a little bit tonight. Folks, you cannot get around. God did speak audibly to men in the past. God did use visions and dreams to speak to men in the past. You can't get around it. But look at, over time, what has God done? Now, we have something that men all through history did not have. We have a complete scripture here, a canon, that God has preserved for us. This is all we need. So, just like Peter said, we would do well that we take heed to it. All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your words. I know I only want to think about where I'd be today without the direction of your words, the Bible. Thank you for giving us a book that is trustworthy all the time. Thank you, Lord. Just praise you for a place where we can hear your word preached and taught every time we come here. Help us to do as your word says. Take heed to it this week. And we praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.